Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships, and the Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. The second lesson this morning is from Romans, the 8th chapter. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Here ends the reading.
Click on it. Yep. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem, and when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
What did you see landing in everybody's head?
Fire.
Flames of fire. As the Holy Spirit came to each and every one of them. Just like you, each and every one of you has the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you can head back to your seats now, okay? Thank you for coming up. Let the Holy Spirit in you. You don't want to? Okay, don't worry, I won't.
She's like, first little hands and now flames on my head?
I know. Ellie is having trouble with the little hands and the fire on her heads. That's okay. We're doing weird stuff at church. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, breathe your powerful breath of renewing life into this place. Set our hearts aflame and create in us witnesses to share your light to the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as you heard, it was Pentecost. Fixing my hair after my flames on my head there. So today is the day of Pentecost. This is the showing up of the Holy Spirit. And I have a lot of friends who are pastors, and somebody posted on their Facebook page something like, "This Sunday, the shy person of the Trinity finally shows up for her birthday." And then somebody replied, "And she shows up in a big way." So this is sometimes called the birthday of the church, because this is the point at which the Holy Spirit comes down onto the people who are gathered there, and the people turn from just being followers of Jesus, waiting for him to return, to all of a sudden being witnesses, advocates, the group gathered together. And I like that this friend of mine talked about the person of the Trinity, about this being the Trinity's birthday, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. We can kind of understand God the Father. Well, the Father's a person. We can understand Jesus the Son. The Son, he's a person. He is a literal person who walks. But the Holy Spirit is kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around. And so we use a lot of allegories to explain how the Trinity works and explain how the Holy Spirit works. I heard about this book that I just started reading by Mark Dunkelman, and it's a book called The Vanishing Neighbor. Has anyone heard of it? No? Oh, it's an interesting book. I'm not all the way through it, so I hope he doesn't end up saying weird stuff in the end. But the beginning is interesting. His premise is that in our society, we kind of have different categories of how we interact with people. We have those who we have those intimate relationships with, our friends, our family, those close people who we have in our lives. And then we have kind of our larger societal groups that we're part of our nation, part of our state, part of our community. But then there's that in-between category that's disappearing. The neighbor, the neighborhood, the community, and he describes it, he says there is the disappearance of that once of those once central relationships between people who are familiar but not close, or friendly but not intimate. And I thought of that as being a way to kind of describe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What if we looked at these types of interactions between God and human in these ways? And they started to kind of fit for me, and especially in our lessons today. When you think about God, God the Father, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament, that God comes and speaks to nations, speaks in the words of the prophet Joel, speaks to groups by thunder and by earthquakes. And he makes the mountains tremble, and he leads the people of Israel into the promised land. God the Father does not do anything on a small scale, does he? So I thought, okay, that might be kind of how we look at how we interact with a larger circle. And then we get to God the Son, who we call Jesus Christ. This God we know, this God we talk about a lot in church. And this is a God who interacts with people on a very intimate level. Even in our gospel reading today, he's giving directions for where the church is going to go. And what does he do? But he calls and he says to Philip, Philip, have this conversation with me. Philip, talk with me. How often do we hear and see Jesus coming to an individual and healing them? Coming to a person or people and praying with them. Even when he's asked to speak in front of crowds and multitudes, what does he need to do afterwards? Rest and retreat and gather with his disciples. That individual, that close, that intimate community, we understand that. And then we get to the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit show up today? Well, he comes and he talks to a group of people, the Jews who were gathered there, those followers of Jesus. And I was thinking about how Pentecost, this first day when the Holy Spirit shows up and gathers these group of people together who all spoke in different languages, or were all of a sudden speaking in different languages, were speaking the common story of Jesus. And it made me think of the church. Because the Holy Spirit shows up where we are being together. And when we are coming together, because being known matters. Being together matters. This week I had two different conversations. One with a young adult who was interested in becoming a new member. And one with a teenager who was interested in being baptized. And I had the conversation with both of these. They happen to both be young women. And I realized that in both of these conversations, I was talking about coming into and being part of this community where the Holy Spirit is present. And I thought, this is why when we have new members, we bring them before the congregation. This is why when we have baptisms, we don't do this in silence. And this is why next week when we commission our vicar, Matt Polstoffer, we don't do it in like some office up there, but we do it here in this community, in this church. Because being together matters. Coming together matters. There are a couple of different ways that we describe the Holy Spirit. couple of different images that we use. One of them is wind. Breath. That word in the Old Testament is ruach. And it means both the same as breath in our inward and the mighty winds that come in tornadoes and destruction. And also in our Bible, the article used for that is actually a feminine article. So for those of you who are kind of scratching your heads and think, I've never heard the Holy Spirit referred to as she, well, the Holy Spirit I know is not an it. But sometimes the Holy Spirit is she, and sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as he. So for right now, I'll just say the person of the Holy Spirit. We hear this example of the Holy Spirit being breath and wind, but in our New Testament, the primary way that we hear and see and have the Holy Spirit described to us is in flames. Flames like this that freak out four-year-olds. But also flames that alight the tops of these disciples' heads. And I love the image of this because if you think about it, flames also have that same power that breath and wind do, right? A single flame, a single candle, is that threatening to anyone up there? Probably not. But what if we lit another, and another, and another, and another, and pretty soon a single flame can become a mighty, raging fire. And this is kind of how we describe the Holy Spirit at work in us as individuals. I have the Holy Spirit, and I can do some things. But what if I combined it with your Holy Spirit? And your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit. Pretty soon the Holy Spirit is a large and raging fire that can do amazing things. I thought about some of the people in our society who have worked this way, and I brought a couple images here. Anybody know who this lady is? What? Rosa Parks. For those of you sitting in the back seats over there, this is Rosa Parks. What did she do? What? She got on the bus and she didn't move. That's a pretty simple act, right? But what did that fan the flame up? More and more people saying, I am a child of God. I am a person. I can sit on this bus. And all of a sudden, a large boycott started that began a revolution. How about this guy? Gandhi. Yes. Remember what he did? Practice nonviolence. One of his big things was he said, we're not going to eat salt. Remember this? The salt boycotts? Oh, this is... Wow. Hope I'm not screwing up this story. Okay. Research is a little bit more. But one of the things that a lot of the lower class were used to farm some of the salt, and they said, no, we're not going to use it. And if all of a sudden thousands of people aren't using salt, then there's not a demand for it. Sort of like when thousands of people aren't riding a bus, there's not a need for it. And that single flame becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and revolutions happen. Here's my last picture. Does anybody know who this is? She's a Lutheran. That's okay. I didn't expect you to know her. This is one of those women. Her name is Lema Mboi, and she's a Liberian woman. And when I was thinking of this idea of a single flame of the Holy Spirit within me, combining with the Holy Spirit in others to create a revolution, she was one of the women I thought of. There's a wonderful documentary called Pray the Devil Back to Hell, which I recommend to all of you. But Lema Boy's story is an interesting one. In the early 1990s in Liberia, there was the start of a second civil war that was happening. And this was an atrocious time. It was a time where children were becoming child soldiers. It was a time where warlords were taking power from the government. It was a time where women were seen as commodities of war, and women and their children were abused, executed, raped, and tortured in systematic fashion. Not seen as people, but as weapons. So, this is one of Limamboy's phrases, or one of her quotes. She said, "At 17, the first time I saw a dead body, I froze. By 31, it was a natural occurrence for me, and no group of people should live like that." So she was part of a culture and a society where women had little to no power. And she looked around and said, "This has to change. If this civil war is going to end," she says, "it has to start with the mamas." And so she and a few women got together and started what was known as the Women in Liberia Mass Action for Peace. These women gathered together and they wore all white. It started with her and another president of a women's league in another Lutheran church. And they started gathering together and they said, "We can do something. We don't have to sit around and wait for the men in power to do something. We should." And then pretty soon their group looked at the Muslim women in their country and they said, "You're facing the same thing we are. What if we gathered together as women?" They wore all white. They wore white t-shirts, white headdresses, and they said, "Because white is hard to ignore. It reflects the light." And they gathered together, and as people, they started protesting, nonviolent protesting. They would show up places, and sometimes there would be 200 women in white tops and white headdresses standing arm in arm, not saying anything, but showing up at state capitol meetings, showing up at government meetings, showing up when warlords would roll through their town. And they started practicing saying no. And pretty soon, these women were not ignored anymore. But pretty soon, these women, as half of this population, started to be taken notice of. This is one of my favorite quotes that she has. She says, "There is something in this world that every individual can do. God has created all of us with something unique to contribute." So what is it that you can contribute? How is the fan of the flame of the Holy Spirit alive in you? Think about Christmas in this place, if you've ever been here on Christmas. We start with just those two candles lit, and then two more are lit. And then two more, and two more. And pretty soon this place is alight with the light of Christ. We too can share that flame of the Holy Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, look to see where your flame is flying. Amen.